Hey, good morning and good an Erev Yom Kippur. Today is day 39, reuniting the king and the queen. Just so you have clarity, day 40 is going to be tomorrow night after Yom Kippur, please God, is over. I'll be sharing the last entry, day 40, which is called A Broken Heart. I do this so that we can have the zechut, the merit of demonstrating that we want to, study Torah and further our connection with God, not just before Yom Kippur, but we're going to continue it afterwards. And in that vein, I want to just give a little quick commercial here for what's going to happen afterwards, okay? After the 40-day challenge is over, which is going to be Motzi Yom Kippur, the last entry, I'm going to switch this back from the 40-day challenge to Beyond the Instant, which was the name of my first book. And I'm going to continue to share, hopefully, what you'll consider pearls of wisdom, not every day, but at least three times a week, three entries a week. And I would urge you and encourage you to stay on this chat. Now, it's okay if you want to leave after the 40 days. You just signed up for the 40 days. You had enough. You don't want to be on so many WhatsApp chats. But I do think it's important to keep going and to demonstrate the consistency that we've talked about. And if you would like to stay on, therefore, it would be an honor for those of you who just joined for the 40-day challenge, if you would consider remaining for subsequent recordings that I'm going to be sharing during the holiday of Sukkot, leading up to Sukkot, and Simchas Torah. I've got some really great Torah that I'd like to share with you all. And I'll be posting my YouTube Parsha, which I do every Friday as well. So I hope you'll stay with me. And if you can't, I totally understand. It's been amazing, amazing learning with you guys. Day 39 is reuniting the king with the queen. And I started with a story of the late and great Rabbi Jonathan Sacks when he was young, a university student at Cambridge, and he traveled to visit his aunt in L.A. He came to the United States, and when he landed in New York, he tried getting a meeting with Lubavitcher Rebbe, late and great Lubavitcher Rebbe, who he admired greatly, before moving on to California, but he was told that a meeting like that would be impossible, so he kept leaving messages, and finally, he gets a phone call that he could meet with the Rebbe that Thursday night. There wasn't time to book a flight. So the young Rabbi Sacks boarded a Greyhound and spent the next 72 hours riding a bus to meet the Rebbe at Lubavitch headquarters, 770 Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn. And he had planned to ask the Rebbe some very deep, probing, theological questions he always had. And when he finally got to the meeting, instead of starting to ask the Rebbe some questions, the Rebbe asked Rabbi Sacks, "How many Jewish students are there with you in Cambridge? How many of them are involved in Jewish life? And what are you doing to bring your fellow Jewish students closer to their Jewish heritage?" Now, this is not good for Rabbi Sacks. He did not travel all this distance to give an update on Jewish life in Cambridge. So he tried to bring back the conversation to where he wanted it to go. And so he did what he called the English thing. He said the English can construct sentences like no one else. So he said, he started to answer the Rebbe's question, like, what's going on in Cambridge? And what are you doing about the Jewish life there? So he answered, he said, quote, "In the situation in which I currently find myself," and the Rebbe wouldn't let him finish his sentence. He cut in, he said, "Nobody finds themselves in a situation. You put yourself in a situation. And if you put yourself in one situation, you can put yourself in a different one." I'm sharing this story because we're going to be saying the Al-Chait, the confessional, the Ashamnu Bagadnu. It's a litany of all the sins and wrongdoings we've committed throughout the year. But when we say these confessions and we express remorse for our sins and our mistakes, we take responsibility. We could always say we found ourselves in this situation, we found ourselves in that situation, but we come clean and we admit that we put ourselves in the situation, or we put ourselves in situation one, which brought me into situation two. And that's why Yom Kippur is such a wonderful day of honesty and taking responsibility. And the Ashamnu confession really is written in alphabetical order, and I also shared in the chapter a beautiful teaching of Shai Agnon, the great novelist, who offered the parable of a king who became displeased with his queen, and he banishes her from the palace. The queen missed the king terribly, yearned to be accepted back into the royal palace, so the queen takes the same violin used earlier at their wedding, and she plays this beautiful melody for the king as she lists her wrongdoings one by one. And the king is listening to the music on that violin. He remembers the love that he had for his bride and, of course, welcomes her back to the palace. And that's the parable representing our relationship with God. God is the king. and he's grown unhappy with us, his partner, the queen, because of our sins, our transgressions, which have caused spiritual distance, resulting in our banishment from the palace. The violin is represented by the Hebrew alphabet, the letters used by God to give us the Torah at Har Sinai. And by means of this Hebrew alphabet, through which the Jewish people were wed to God at Har Sinai, and by which we sing letter by letter, Ashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, I did this wrong, I did that wrong, in the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, we use the same letters from the giving of the Torah to arouse memories of our initial closeness with God at our wedding at Sinai. But ultimately, we take responsibility, we acknowledge our role. The longing of the queen to be with the king, though, motivates us to sing the Alchet with sincerity, with compassion, and that's what I bless all of us, including myself, my family, and your family. We should all be blessed with the Gemara Chatima Tova. All Hashem wants is honesty, sincerity, taking responsibility. Let's come before Hashem on Yom Kippur and lay out where we've gone wrong and how sincerely we believe we can do better in the coming year. And that should be a zechus, a merit for each and every one of you, all of us, to have a Gemara Chatima Tova, an inscription in the book of goodness, of good health, of prosperity, of financial security, of all the things that we want, important things that we want in life, to be able to raise our children and our communities with love, with sincerity, and with Torah. And please God, we should all help reunite the king with the queen. We should feel that much more connected to Hashem on the holiest day of the year. I will, please God, bli neder, come back to you after Yom Kippur. Please God, on day 40 with the last entry. And then, as I said, switch the title of this chat, but just continue to learn, because that's what we do, and that's the biggest zechus we have going into Yom Kippur, to demonstrate to Hashem that we're not just cramming before the test here, but we're going to continue after. Please God, as long as Hashem gives us the ability, we will continue to connect with Him through Torah and mitzvot. Gemara Chatima Tova.